Hello, welcome to the Monday, March 2nd, 2015 edition of the Sands and its Storm Centers Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich, and today I'm recording from Jacksonville, Florida. And we got more problems for owners of small business network storage devices. In this case, it's the Seagate NAS product that is vulnerable to remote code execution. At this point, there is no patch available from Seagate. However, there is a Metasploit module available, making exploitation of the vulnerabilities that have been discovered pretty easy and straightforward. Some of the vulnerable software that's being exploited here goes back to 2010. So in part, this isn't just custom software that Seagate wrote for this device, but these are standard components like PHP, Lite, HTTP, and such that are part of the firmware that is delivered with this device. We have seen so many exploits, so many vulnerabilities with these devices. I would highly suggest that pretty much any device that's out there has some form of so far unreleased or unpatched remote code execution available. Do not expose any of these devices, and I don't limit this to just Seagate, to the open internet. And large cloud providers like Amazon EC2 and Rackspace announced that they will have to reboot a large part of their infrastructure this week or early next week due to a new SEN vulnerability that has been discovered, and the patch for which is going to be released on March 10, so about a week from today. The effect here is twofold. First of all, if you are hosting systems in part of the affected cloud service providers, then you may have to be ready for an unscheduled reboot. Now, both Amazon, Rackspace, and also some others did announce that they don't have to reboot all of the infrastructure. Part of it, the patch can be applied without having to reboot these systems, but then again, that's not 100% of their infrastructure. The second part is if you're using SEN internally, if you're hosting your own virtual systems in SEN or Citrix's virtualization solution, then you probably need to be ready for a patch to arrive on March 10 that may require a reboot of your systems. Then I started this podcast with NAS systems that are notoriously vulnerable. Another problem group, of course, we have our home routers, in this case, D-Link and TrendNet devices. New vulnerabilities announced in either, and actually, this vulnerability may affect a larger group of devices that hasn't yet been identified yet. What's happening here is that these devices come with a basic web server, JJHTTPD, and that web server passes requests to a second binary, NCC or NCC2. These binaries then are essentially responsible for processing CGI requests, and they invoke a number of different functions, like, for example, to be able to ping a system. Problem here is that several of these functions have vulnerabilities that lead to arbitrary code execution. The ping vulnerability, for example, is in particular sad and sort of unnecessary, as it's really just a variation of a vulnerability we have seen before with ping for IPv4. What they did here is they now implemented ping for IPv6, but do not clean up the address. So as the address is passed to a system command, we now have arbitrary code execution because we can just do command injection. The vulnerability was originally reported to D-Link and TrendNet in January. TrendNet released an updated firmware beginning of February. D-Link so far has failed to completely acknowledge the vulnerability, and no patch is available. But yes, we do have exploit modules for Metasploit available to exploit these vulnerabilities. Just like I told you earlier with the disk storage devices, these home firewall / routers should never be exposed to the internet. At least the management interface should not be exposed to the internet. However, since some of these vulnerabilities can be exposed via cross-site request forging, it's also important to make sure that you don't use the standard IP address for the device. Even if you renumber your network, don't use a .1 address for the device. Use some other IP within your subnet for the device, and that should work just fine. Yes, it's security through obscurity, which you should avoid, but short of having a firmware update available, and given that there are probably other vulnerabilities in these devices, I think you could see this as some meaningful defense in depth. Well, and that's it for today, so thanks for listening, and talk to you again tomorrow.